Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes with The Bite Show. And once again, we bring you data for your head. And we have a bunch of it today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Adrian Krieg. He is an author. And he's written three books. The first, Satori, The Satori, and The New Mandarins. His second book is 4th of July, The Last Independence Day. And the third and very controversial book is Our Political System. And it seems that there was a lot going on behind the scenes to prevent this particular book from being sold in the United States. However, we're going to let Dr. Krieg tell us about this. Hello, Dr. Krieg.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm
well,
just
that's
fine.
Great, Julie.
What happened with this last book that you wrote, Our Political System?
Well, it's a very interesting story because I had written this book in anticipation of the upcoming presidential election, which, of course, was the last election.
Right.
And, you know, I was never really too enthralled with either Republicans or Democrats. I guess I started out as a Republican, and then I became an independent, and then I became disgusted. I think that's the way to put it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I my wife read a book by a man named Cecil Chesterton.
Yeah.
And he is the brother of the very famous G.K. Chesterton, whom I had pretty much read everything up. And she says, you have to read his brother's book, you know. It was published in 1911, and it was called The Party System. So I read this book, and I said, my God, this is unbelievable, because this book, which was published and circulated in 1911, if you changed some names and changed some subjects and, you know, made some minor changes, it could be 21st century America.
Oh, my.
You know, all of the same type of party politics, the control of the electorate, the control of election, the control of debate commissions, and so on and so on. So I said, heck, this is too good to pass up. And I wrote this book. I wrote it rather rapidly. I think I wrote it in about a year.
I'll be darned.
And I brought it out about 3 months before the election. And much to my dismay, some of the people who got this book were real hardline Republicans and Democrats, and they were absolutely appalled. They were terrified by this book.
Oh, my.
And they went about to through the DNC and the RNC, get this book blacklisted. And I could not get a book review on a book. I could not get, I mean, it was like a big zero. You couldn't, you know, unless people went to my site, they couldn't find out that this book had been written.
By the way, give out your website.
Oh, I have, my website is www.a2z, that's a number 2, Z like Zulu, publications.com,
okay.
A to Z publications.com. And I have an 800 number, 800-431-1579. So anyway, we can do that later. Anyway, they did. I mean, they prevented this book from going into bookstores, into everything. You know, I would go to Books a Million and say, hey, look, this is a prime topic. It's before the election, and you know, it's about politics and blah. And they said oh, you know, the store manager said somebody would be very interested and say, oh yeah, you'll have to get it passed through our corporate office, and the corporate office had already been given the kibosh on the book.
You know? Oh, my goodness.
So nobody would stock it, and so the only place I sold it was some through Amazon and direct sales, and that's pretty much has remained the situation with that book. The other books I've written, most of which sold thousands of copies, were not, I guess, by the political elite considered a serious attack on their position. But this book really did the number on him. I mean, it just absolutely devastates the Republican and Democrat Party. And so I guess they just weren't going to have it on the market. And that's what happened to it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's been quite a few over time books that have been blacklisted in this country. And it just goes to show people, you know, they can't take the scrutiny of any kind of light. That's how crooked they are.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about, I have many friends who are authors, and whenever a book is written that's politically controversial or revisionist historian, such incredible efforts are made to keep this information hidden and away from the people,
right,
that it's just astounding. You know, I mean, we don't live in a free society at all. We live in a controlled society, particularly where the media is concerned.
Oh, yes. Yes. You had some views on the border situation down here, Dr. Krieg, that...
Do I ever?
Yeah, I think the audience will find it very interesting. And as a matter of fact, on June 9th, a story came out, Mexican border city police chief killed, Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. Gunman shot Laredo's new police chief dozens of times and killed him hours after he took the post. And the shooters used AK-47 assault rifles. And this is the second one now, I believe, this month, because there was another one, another police chief that was killed in Mexicali, Mexico, as he got up and went to work.
Yeah, and they're on the other border by California. There have been so many murders of females that people are hard pressed to even keep track of it.
Oh, that's happening right down here on the El Paso.
Yeah,
border
also
with Juarez.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's hundreds.
Well, you know, the CIA director Porter Gross just recently in testimony said that Mexico had the same political venue as Venezuela, Haiti, Nicaragua.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that sort of tells you, I mean, even what our CIA, which really knows really what's going on, even they point out that the situation is a disaster. You know, I mean, Mexico is for all practical purposes a narco republic.
Yes.
The largest amount of income derived by Mexico as a nation is through narcotics.
Right.
And of course, El Presidente Vicente Fox and his PAN party are ultra leftist.
Oh, yeah.
And George Bush, the lesser, is his water boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's astounding to me when we live next to a country that's really the third world. And I don't say that in a bad way at all. I lived in Mexico for 2 years. I lived in San Miguel de Allende in Guanajuato. And I very much enjoyed it. I was in my late teens, and I was going to a branch of the University of Mexico called the Instituto Allende.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have nothing but wonderful feelings for the Mexican people, but the government is a completely different thing. It's a horrible government. You know, the previous government was involved so heavily in drugs that I think it was... He was the brother of the previous president who got caught with $300 million by a Swiss bank.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, and of course, that was all narcotics money.
Yeah.
Now, the situation on the border, I think, you know, New Mexico and Texas, to some degree Arizona and California bear the brunt of this, but I live in Florida and the situation here isn't much better. I mean, I drove up Interstate I-75, which runs up the west coast of Florida, and this is of course the entrance route. They come on Route 10 and then take I-75 south. And every rest stop that you stop in, there are these buses. They look like touristas. You know, they're sort of really beat up old vans and stuff like that with 15 or 20 Mexicans in them.
Yeah.
You know, and probably the vast majority of them are illegals.
Mm-hmm.
At the present time in America, there are about 8.7 million Mexicans.
That's the ones we know about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what's really bad for our country is that these people work here, most of them illegally, but they work here and they earn a living. But they send money back to Mexico.
That's right.
Approximately $24 billion a year.
And, you know, in some of the Central American countries, the money that is sent home is 70%
of the gross national product.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing, of course, with Mexico is that if, and this is why Fox is so anxious to have these people come to this country, if that flow of money were to be interrupted, in other words, if that $22 billion a year stopped coming into Mexico, the Mexican economy would completely collapse. That's what's keeping the thing going. And, of course, Fox just recently had a 37-page comic book published. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah.
And telling people how to cross the border and not get caught. You know, so, I mean, the Mexican government is actually giving out hundreds of thousands of comic books to people in Mexico saying, look, if you go to America and if this is the things you have to do, this is where you have to cross, this is how you have to do it to avoid getting caught.
Right.
They even go as far as to tell them how to get American driver's license and ID cards and all of this. Now, I don't know about New Mexico, but in California, the situation is as follows. A Mexican crosses the border illegally. He goes to the Mexican consul in San Diego or L.A. and says, I come from Juarez. I need an ID. I don't have a driver's license. I need an ID.
Yeah.
So they say to him, well, what's your name? And the guy says, well, my name is Jose Bush. They said, okay, all right. Stand over there. We'll take your picture. He stands over there to take his picture. They say, when were you born? He tells them the date. They produce an ID.
Yes.
I mean, this ID is it's completely phony. It's not based on any fact. The guy hasn't shown any documents for this ID, nothing.
You're right.
He takes that ID and goes to the license bureau, mm-hmm. for a driver's license, and says, I'd like to get a driver's license. They say, okay, fill out this form. Let's see your ID. Shows them the ID. Okay, they write all the stuff on the ID down. He says, okay, now you'll have to study this booklet and take a driver's check, driver's test. By the way, the booklet's provided in Spanish, of course.
Yes.
So the guy studies the booklet, and he takes the driver's test, and he passes it. They issue him a driver's license. And when they issue him a driver's license, they say, would you like to vote in American elections? Check it off here if you want to vote.
Right.
The guy checks it off. Now he's a voting citizen.
Oh, gee.
I mean, and this is happening every, it's just beyond belief.
That's been happening for years.
Absolutely. And it's an absolute disgrace. Now, the situation has gotten really even worse than that. You know, in George Bush's, in his planned budget, he put in for 2,000 more Border Patrol agents.
Mm-hmm.
He's hired 210.
Oh, Dr. Krieg, we have got the Mexican military coming across the border, protecting the, you know, the coyotes, the people who smuggle people,
yes,
as well as the drug dealers. And they have told, word has come down in Arizona, the Border Patrol have been warned by these AK-47 carrying Mexican commandos, military people that were trained by the U.S. government at one time to stay away from the border, or they're going to be shot, especially to stay away at night.
Well, you know, I mean,
yeah.
this absolutely shows, you know, this exposes the entire terrorist hoax of the administration.
Oh, sure.
The administration, or George Bush, runs around telling us, for your safety, we're in a war in Iraq. Baloney.
Yeah.
We're in a war in Iraq for oil. We're fighting the insurgents in Afghanistan. Half of the people in Afghanistan haven't even seen an airplane until they got in the war with the Russians.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're primitive people. You know, just everybody, take a step back and think about this. Think about a bunch of people living in caves in Afghanistan, and part of Pakistan. Now I've been there. Okay, this place is so isolated.
Oh yes.
That you can't. Cell phones don't work there. Nothing. I mean, it's mountainous. It's isolated. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And these people are living in caves. Okay. Now imagine these people living in these caves, organizing over 100 people, over 3 continents, to do an attack in New York City against a building which they've never seen.
Interesting.
I mean, does this even have a semblance of common sense?
A pretty interesting thought. Yeah.
So anyway, we go on with this immigration situation. And if you want to see what the administration is doing to us as a country, all you have to do is look at NAFTA. You know, it is George's great aspiration and hope to expand NAFTA to something new called CAFTA,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is the Caribbean Basin Initiative
yeah.
for Free Trade. Okay, so if we're going to, you know, proceed and have a expansion of NAFTA, shouldn't we sort of look at NAFTA and what NAFTA has done to us? I mean, doesn't make sense to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's just common sense.
Okay.
And you know, when the politicians signed on to this thing, they did not even bother to read it.
Well, you know, it's the same thing as the Patriot.
Yeah.
The Patriot Act wasn't published until 2 months after they voted it in.
Right.
Homeland Security Act, the same thing.
Yeah.
Personally, I think any congressman, I don't care what party is in, I don't care if he's a socialist, a Democrat, a Republican, a communist, I don't care. If he votes for a piece of legislation that he has not read, he should be impeached and thrown out of office.
Agreed, yes.
So let's look at what and now, to prerequisite this so that people understand, I was an advisor to the Department of Commerce from the beginning of the Reagan administration through the first term of the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
I quit the position when Ron Brown, who was a lawyer political hack,
mm-hmm.
was put in charge of the Department of Commerce, and he really destroyed any input that was of any value. He only wanted to hear what he wanted to hear, and if somebody said something that he didn't want to hear, he just sidelined him.
Yeah, well, somebody fixed him.
Yeah, they certainly did with a hole in the top of the head.
Yeah.
So anyway, if we now examine exactly what NAFTA has done, this is relatively simple. It was enacted about 9.5 years ago, and at that time, prior to NAFTA, we had a trade surplus with Mexico of $5.7 billion a year. In other words, we sold $5.7 billion more goods than we imported from Mexico. We initiated NAFTA, and the situation started to radically change. By the fifth year, We were $34 billion annually in the hole, which has now grown to almost $50 billion.
Yeah.
Mexican, now we were told when they enacted this that the Mexican blue-collar laborer would get more money because he was producing goods for the American market, and as a consequence, he will be able to buy American things, American cars, and so on and so forth. At the outset of NAFTA, he was earning $1.44 an hour average. Today, it's $1.57 an hour. And my question to those pundits who said that they were going to buy American cars is, how many American cars do you buy at $1.57 an hour?
Yeah, really?
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, what can you say? Now, this is only the very tip of the iceberg, because we continue to lose manufacturing jobs at absolutely unbelievable rates. Last month, we lost 70,000 more manufacturing jobs. We have lost, to Mexico, 3.4 million manufacturing jobs. That is direct manufacturing plants that were closed down in America and reopened in Mexico. Now, interestingly enough, in the NAFTA agreement, there is a section which requires that the government issue a report through the Departments of Labor and Commerce of the effect of NAFTA, what effect it had on America. And so they did this until 1996, when the Clinton administration got hold of their latest report. And the latest report said there were about 2.7 million jobs lost, and 2,000 manufacturing plants in America had shut down and moved to Mexico. You know what the Clinton administration did? Instead of issuing their report, they had all the reports rounded up and shredded them.
Well, that figures.
Right.
And then, you know, people have the audacity to even entertain the idea of voting for Hillary.
I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't vote for her for dog catcher in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Same here.
So, you see, not only did we do that, we lost 50,000 family farms.
Exactly.
That's a real hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Then American manufacturers started building plants in Mexico. The investment total since 96 has been $2 billion a year. These are all new plants that are being built in Mexico rather than the United States,
yeah,
which are going to be employing Mexicans rather than Americans, whose total production is going to be sold in the United States, not in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
When we review the entire situation of the NAFTA agreement, we learn things that are just absolutely terrible. What we learn is that through various programs of our government, we have lost a surplus of $5.7 billion. We have a new annual deficit of $50 billion. Funds repatriated to Mexico, $24 billion. The Mark Villadora manufacturing program, we lose another $8 billion. The total loss to the American economy is close to $90 billion a year. And George Bush wants to expand this? Is this guy crazy?
It's lunacy.
It sure is. So when we look at the border situation, we have to look at the whole picture: the trade situation, the farm situation. I know from when I lived in Mexico that Mexican motor vehicles are probably the most unsafe vehicles operated in the entire hemisphere.
Yeah.
And they want to let the trucks run it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's scary. These guys have, you know, they have no I don't know if they have no mechanical aptitude. They probably have pretty good mechanical aptitude to keep 50-year-old trucks running.
Oh, gee.
You know, but this is not a good picture.
No, it's a very serious problem, and millions and millions and millions of U.S. citizens, Americans, are suffering because of it. You know, on the border they have these pass things, and if your trucking company signs up for this, they put a thing on your truck and they just wave you through to come into the States without really checking.
Well, you know, we have to get all that marijuana to the market, don't we?
Oh, gee.
When you look at all of this in a rational, you know, it doesn't have to be a bias. You don't have to be anti-Mexican. You don't have to be even, you don't even have to be opposed to drugs. I mean, when you look at this in a logical way, you have to say to yourself, the people in Washington that are making these policies are completely crazy.
Okay, but now you see, everyone says, well, you know, they want to make this new world order. They're ushering that in, and it'll be the Eastern Hemisphere and then the Western Hemisphere. And I don't see in the long run, Dr. Craig, how they're going to pull this off without an awful lot of bloodshed.
Well, you know, I say never underestimate the stupidity of the people.
Yeah, really.
Because, I mean, they have been doing things for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have thought there would have been a violent revolt a long time ago.
Same here.
but people seem to, you know, just sit there and take it. It's astounding. I recently spoke at a libertarian function in the Carolinas, and I spoke on behalf of a senatorial candidate in South Carolina.
Right.
And I said to him, you know, 70,000 jobs in manufacturing, particularly in carpet and clothing, have been lost in South Carolina in the last year. 70,000 jobs. They have been lost to Mexico. And both the Republican and Democrat candidates for the U.S. Senate are ardent supporters of this policy. Who are you people going to vote for? You know, in most places it was just silence. They didn't, I don't know if I was shooting over their head or they didn't get it or, hey, my cousin's out of work, you know, and the administration does it and here's two guys running for office and they want to put me out of work. I'm still going to vote for one of them.
See, yeah, they give you the choice of one evil or another evil. And frankly, I don't vote for evil. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, in the last election, I voted for the Constitution Party candidate, which I thought was a really excellent man. I heard him speak in Montgomery, Alabama, and in Florida, and he was a lawyer from Maryland, a really, really, really intelligent man. And I know why he was sidelined. If he had been in the debate with those two boobs, with Kerry and Bush,
mm-hmm.
he would be our president now.
Well,
because they would have looked so stupid compared to him.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
You know, aside from the fact, you know, when you really look at it, you know, both Bush and Kerry are members of BONES, which is also called the Order or 322, used to be called the Order of Death, which is a satanic secret organization.
Well, their insignia that is the old Nazi death head, you know?
Quite right. But it goes further than that. They use the satanic signs, you know, the satanic star and all of that. You know, that they're you know, you've seen George Bush with his pointing finger and his little finger up.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, they say that has to do with a Texas university. It doesn't. It's the symbol of bones. That's their hand symbol. You know, and both of these guys were members of this thing. But, I mean, people in this country are so politically naive. I mean, they really should read our political system, because it really puts everything to light. You know, I talk in the book, for one of the things I talk about is the Presidential Debate Commission. It is probably the biggest farce that's ever been instituted. What you have to understand is this. The Presidential Debate Commission consists of six men, three Republicans and three Democrats. Now, do you think those guys are going to let a Constitution or Libertarian or America First or whatever a candidate into that debate?
Oh, of course not.
There's absolutely no way, especially since they know that both of their candidates are dumbos.
Yeah.
Okay. So they, through this process, control the debate. As a matter of fact, in the debate that they had, which, by the way, they're not debates, they're propaganda vehicles, you know, at this propaganda vehicle they had in St. Louis, the Green Party candidate and the Libertarian Party candidate came to the building and wanted to go in to listen to the debate. They were both arrested by the police. The debating area had been sealed off by over 100 state police.
Okay. Yeah.
They handcuffed the two candidates. Now, this is no small thing. You must bear in mind that the Libertarians had gained ballot access in 32 states. Jointly, they were, both of these parties had ballot access in a plurality or three quarters of the states of the United States. Now, to arrest a candidate who has ballot access in over 30 states of the Union, which has 50 states, is unconscionable.
I agree.
It's hard for me to understand how the police could even commit such a crime. But nevertheless, they arrested both of them, took them in a police station, didn't charge them, held them until the debate was over, and then released them. I mean, this says to me that we don't live in a democracy, we live in a dictatorship.
I agree with that also.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely terrible when you review the political process from another point of view. How do we choose the candidates? How do we decide who is going to run for the political office of senator or president or congressman in a particular district, state, or in the country as a whole? And people are led to the false conclusion that there are primaries in which they are given the opportunity to vote for a candidate. But that's not true, because the primaries are all fixed and set up. They're all set up in such a way that you get to vote for one or two guys, and both guys are part of the system. And if you don't believe that, then just take a look at the statistics of how many elected officials in this country get re-elected the next, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the tenth time around. It's 87% get reelected. You know, so that shows you that is a system self-perpetuating itself for the system. You know, there are cures for this, because I don't want to be just negative. There are very, very good cures for this. Term limits, period. No F's, N's, buts, nothing. Term limits, one term, you're out, finished, goodbye. There are campaign finance reform, and I'm not talking about Feingold or McCain. That was a farce. If you want to have honest elections, what you have to do is you have to take the profit out of it, and you have to take the ability to control candidates out of it. And that's very simple to do. $300 per person maximum, no more. Only to candidates within your district. In other words, if you live in Las Cruces and you have a congressman in Las Cruces, you can send him $300. But if there's a guy running over in Arizona, you can't send him a penny. By doing that and then eliminating all corporate, union, foundation, anybody else from contributing,
exactly,
you make the elections honest.
Yes.
As so long as these people can and under McCain-Feingold, of course they can, maintain these gigantic slush funds with hundreds of millions of dollars in them, they can use this money to elect whoever they want to.
That's right.
I lived for a long time in New Hampshire, and I'll relay to your people a very interesting case. We had a congressman, a Democrat in New Hampshire, named Dick Sweat. He was really, really unpopular. I mean, it was an absolute foregone conclusion. No matter what this guy did, he was going to lose the next election. A good friend of mine, who is a very strong conservative, who had been an aide to a senator, had worked in Washington for a long time, had worked for the National Rifle Association, a very capable man, decided to take up the gauntlet and run against this man. Inside of about 6 weeks, he had gotten himself together about $25,000, which in New Hampshire is a fair amount of money because it's a pretty small, well, it's not that small, but it's very sparsely populated. It only has about 800,000 people in the whole state. So he had about $20,000, and he was really going great guns. I mean, he was doing wonderfully well. The conclusion statewide was this guy was going to win. The Republican Party did not want this guy to win the election because he was not a rhino. I guess that's a term that most people name, Republican in name only. He was really an independent and a conservative. So what they did is they hauled out a guy who they touted as being a conservative. And they gave the guy $75,000. And he started to advertise on the radio, on television, everywhere. You could see this, the big posters in the streets and everything, how he was the true conservative, blah, blah. So they split the conservative vote. And then they hauled out this guy, Charlie Bass, whose father had been a congressman, who is a 100% systems politician. And they gave him a couple of $100,000, and guess who won the election? You see?
Yeah.
And this is how the process is controlled. And we have to put a stop to this, and the only way to put a stop to this is to take the money out of it. We have to, another thing we have to change is, you know, these candidates are allowed to keep residual campaign contributions after they're elected or after they've lost an election. So if they collect $5 million and they spend $3 million, they're allowed to keep $2 million of that.
Wow, that's nice, huh?
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, sure.
Tax-free.
Oh, gee.
That has to be done away with completely. My solution to that would be simple. Any politician who's run, he's lost an election or won an election, the election is over. Whatever residual funds are left in his campaign war chest have to go be turned over to the state or jurisdiction in which he's running. You know, because it's taxpayers' money, you know, they gave them the money and let it go back to the taxpayers in the form of a reduction of their taxes. But, you see, I don't want to seem, you know, down in the mouth, but I think my ideas, although being honest and workable, are not going to take place. It's just not going to happen. The people that are in power, there is so much money in this business. You know, when you think of some Senator Feinstein has a residual pension when she quits the Senate with over $4.7 million in it. Taxpayers' money. You know, of course, that senators and congressmen and all, they don't have Social Security. They have their own private pensions. And, of course,
sure.
They don't have any of the national health care plans. They have their own special health care plan, which, by the way, they pay $351 a year for themselves, their wives, and their children to age 25.
And some guy out here driving a truck or...
is paying $500 a month minimum.
Yes, yes.
You know,
what's wrong with this picture?
obviously we know what's wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as we keep sending the same guys back, I don't care if you think they're good or if they're bad, but as long as we keep sending the same guys back to Washington, the situation is not going to change. And, of course, the other thing is we've got to stop electing trial lawyers.
Good point.
You know, trial lawyers are the guys who make the second largest bulk contribution to the political process directly after the pharmaceutical industry. You know, so, you know, we must bring these changes about.
Well, those are very good ideas that you've expressed, but then, too, you see, we have these tug-of-wars going on with different factions among the people themselves, the voting public.
You're absolutely right.
They are not educated. You know, for example, I will never forget this, Clinton sold precision-guided weapons technology to China. He signed off on nuclear things illegally. He did all kinds of things, and in fact, he was involved in the sex trafficking of women. One night on a talk show, I heard a man talking about this. A caller called in, Dr. Creek, and she was so distraught, it sounded like she hadn't had her Prozac that day. She started yelling and screaming how she loved Clinton. He was God's gift to the world, and she, and I quote what this woman said, I will kill anyone who says anything else bad about him. Now this is, you know, I don't know how widespread this lunacy is, but we've got a real problem.
Well, we certainly do, but, you know, the powers to be, the system,
mm-hmm.
contrives these situations. You know, people aren't aware of how manipulated they are.
Yes, you're right.
You know, people think they have free will. Because they think they have a free press. Well, not only don't they have a free will, they don't have a free press. It is impossible for the press to make you do something. However, it is very possible for the press to make you think about what they want you to think about.
Oh, of course.
So, by omitting certain things in the news, by establishing certain things in the news, by lying about certain things in the news, they make people behave the way it was planned.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, there is an organization in England called the Tavistock Institute.
Oh, yes.
And the Tavistock Institute is a remnant of the Second World War.
Yeah.
In the Second World War, the Germans had a minister of propaganda called Dr. Goebbels. He was probably in propaganda the most brilliant man in history. He devised means to make people believe things that simply did not exist, to do things that they didn't want to do. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The Allies said, we must find a means of countering this, and that's how the Tavistock Institute came into being. They have been working diligently for the last 60 years in means of mass population control. And I'm going to give you some very interesting examples. Now, I'm sure most of us have heard the word cop killer bullet. And of course, a cop killer bullet is a piece of jacketed ammunition. Mm-hmm. It's jacketed with a alloy metal. Every military round produced in this world is jacketed ammunition. Consequently, every military in the world uses cop killer bullets. You see, the word was contrived to attain a predetermined outcome. The Travis Stock Institute does this. If, for instance, semi-automatic rifles have been available since about 1884. That's a long time, you know. This is well over 100 years. The people want the citizenry unarmed, so they came up with the word assault rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Assault rifle makes it sound bad. It makes it sound like you want to do something bad. They've also done things in the opposite direction. When I was a boy, a homosexual was called a sodomite.
Yes.
And
that's what they are.
And then they changed that to a homosexual. And then they changed that to gay. Mm-hmm. Which a gay has a happy and good connotation, whereas a sodomite has a bad and unhappy. And so you see, this Travis Stock Institute has done this with words and phrases, hundreds of thousands of them, and the people don't even realize that they're being lured into a different mindset. And the reason that happens is because if I say a word to you, you draw subconsciously a mental picture of that word that I say. If I say baby, you draw, you know, sort of a picture in your mind of a baby. Maybe it's a cousin or your own child or you know, you see? And by manipulating words, you can change the outlook that people have on certain subjects and topics. And this is what's being done. And this is why people do not have free will. It's because they're being manipulated.
Exactly. You're right.
You know? It's a shame, but I mean, that's the way it is.
Well, you know, going, if you dig around, you find a lot of reports of pedophilia. But they don't report it on the mainstream news, on TV. Just lately, I think, you know, they have started reporting these crimes against children. But what you say about the Tavistock Institute and the mind control issues of using certain words, certain ways, you're very correct. It does cause people to think in a certain way. And it's a subject I shouldn't go very much into because I really have a lot to say on it.
No, why shouldn't you say a lot on it? I mean, you know, of course, the sad thing is that there are so many people out there who don't realize this.
Well, any place where you find children, daycare, YMCA, YWCA, camp counselors, Boy Scouts, you find pedophiles. That is what they're attracted to.
Well, you know, the situation here, I don't know if you've heard, in Florida is absolutely terrible.
It was out of control.
We now have a site. Now, just imagine this. We have a site by the state, and you can access the state, and you can give them your zip code. And then you can say within 1 mile or within 3 miles or within 5 miles, and they will give you a picture of every one of these bums that's living in your neighborhood. Well, guess what? Within 4 miles of my house, there's 30 of these bums.
You're kidding.
No. And you know, my solution is very simple. Round them up and castrate the whole lot of them.
But you see, this is a misnomer about pedophiles. It's not, excuse me, audience, it is not about a man's penis. If they have, you know, the argument has been made, well, if they had access to women, this wouldn't happen. No, that is not the situation at all. It is a real spiritual corruption with,
oh, yes,
with these people. And castration does not work. They have let go these pedophiles. They are under the roof of homosexuality. They've let them go even after they have stated in court that they were afraid they would resume their ways and attack more children.
Well, you know,
we have a problem and, with the judges.
But you're not kidding. I mean, the judges and the police are absolutely to blame for a good portion of this. We had a case here, this Coe guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He murdered this girl, you know, he raped her repeatedly, stuffed her in a plastic bag, and buried her alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, I mean, what the hell kind of an animal is that? And then he, when they found the body and they had all, you know, they had his fingerprints, they had everything else, he admitted it and he signed a confession that he did that.
You know,
and you know what?
What?
Instead of hanging the guy, they're now going to have a huge trial, and his lawyer has proposed not guilty.
It's a circus to keep everybody from looking at what's really going on. This guy should be executed.
Absolutely, and immediately, not tomorrow, not
right.
The day after, right now.
Right.
I mean, you know. But we have these, we have cases here in Florida continuously. It's a warm climate. This is where all these bums come. They come from Pennsylvania, from New York, from New Jersey. They all come down here. You know, if I had my way, they just wouldn't be around anymore.
I tend to agree with you on that issue. It's something, it's been proven over the centuries. I mean, go back in the Bible. It talks about this stuff and that they are to be dealt with severely and rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't change.
That's one thing, by the way, the Muslims have, right?
Well, now, wait a minute. There's a very high incidence of pedophilia among those people.
But if you're caught, and I spent some time in Saudi Arabia, I tell you, you almost feel sorry for them. Guys who steal stuff, they cut their hand off, and I mean they do it in the public square.
Yeah.
Guys who commit murder or molest a child and are caught, they cut their head off. I mean it's a public execution, and that's it. And the trial, by the way, never takes more than 3 days.
Saves a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, it sure does.
Gee.
You know, I mean, when I think of this Alarion trial they're having in Tampa here, they say it's going to last a year.
Well, that's money.
Yeah, and the Coe case hasn't even started yet. They haven't even picked jury or anything. So, you know, it makes you sick.
Yeah, it does.
But
yeah.
I think you are absolutely absolutely on target, Georgianne, when you talk about the judges. I just read a case about a judge. And this judge has ruled that the city of St. Augustine must permit a historic bridge to have flagpoles put all across the bridge and for Gay Pride Month, for the whole month, hang rainbow flags of the gay coalition up on that bridge.
Well, that judge should be removed from the bench.
Not only that, The judge hasn't read the Constitution. He hasn't read the state constitution.
They are destroying this country
by going around
our Constitution. They totally ignore it. And I'm, for one, am very sickened by that.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to go back to being a republic.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to say, our hour's almost up, huh?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that if anyone is interested in my books, you can get them on 800-431-1579, 800-431-1579, or you can get them on my site, www.A2Z Publications. There's a link to another one of my sites on that, and the other site is Creed Books, and that site has current essays and commentaries. I write for a number of newspapers, and mostly in the conservative circuit. And so many of these articles are posted on that site, and some of them are quite interesting, and they're indexed by, you know, by the topics. You know, so if anybody wants to look it up, they can look that up.
Great.
So it's www.A2ZPublications.com.
And is it A, the number two?
Two, yeah. ZPublications.com.
Okay.
Or 800-431-1579.
Okay. Well, God bless you for coming on and talking about all this. It's very important, and I hope and pray that the American people will really start standing up. You know,
yeah.
We have a lot of people now that are awake, and they're stunned. And we need people to start standing up and just saying, we aren't going to take it anymore.
That's right.
So, Dr. Krieg, thank you.
It's been absolutely my pleasure, Georgianne, and any time you want to do a show with me, just give me a buzz and we'll set it up.
Well, we will be doing that. And folks, go have a look. Check out Dr. Krieg's books. As he said, the number is 800-431-1579. The website is www.A2Z Publications.com. And God bless all the listeners, and you too, Dr. Krieg.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon.
This is Georgianne Hughes with The Byte Show, signing off.